Hi guys, it is Dom here from Sounds Fair. I just had the wonderful opportunity, recently I had the wonderful opportunity to chat to Matthew Pritchard, of course, of Dirty Sanchez. He's a professional skateboarder, he's an athlete, he's a chef, he's a vegan chef, changing the way people think about food and changing the way people think about mental health as well through his work. We go into detail about his new book, new supplements, and his history, his career, how he got from skateboarding to TV, how he became a chef, and everything besides that. This is in-depth. It's really, really cool. I'm really, really proud of this. Thank you to Matthew for his time and the people that helped us arrange this one. It's a big one for us, so thank you so, so much to everybody involved in this. And thank you to you guys for watching. It was great to have an in-depth chat with Matthew, of course, a great figure in television over the last sort of 10-20 years in pop culture. So for those fans of Dirty Sanchez, for those fans of Matthew, I hope you enjoy this, and thanks for watching. We'll see you soon. Fantastic. Matt, honestly, like I said, off record, it is great to have you. Thank you so much for making the time. I have caught you on a Tuesday morning. It's all right. We're about 11 a.m. But how are you feeling? Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm. Well, I start my days at 4 a.m. 6 days a week, Monday to Saturday, life depending. If I'm in my house, but anyway, I try and do 6 days a week. This morning, went to the gym. Have my coffee, pre-workout, go to the gym, then come back, and then I do my cardio in the house and jump on the Zwift and hop bike for an hour for a good sweat off, and then I'm off then to start my day. It's full of beans.
That's it, man. That's it. Like I say, it's it sounds like a very, very busy life, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. But before we sort of start off, talking about the book and what you've got coming up, I want to go back a little bit. And you've done quite a lot of reflection in different interviews that you've done over the years and documentaries, of course, for the BBC and other places. So I kind of wanted to ask you what you've learned about yourself through, obviously, skateboarding, Dirty Sanchez, of course, the cooking work you do, obviously your fitness journey, which is well documented as well. What have you learned about yourself? How would you say you've changed and developed from the very beginnings of your entertainment career to where you are today in 2023?
Whoa, man, that's a good question. What have I learned? And what have I don't know, man. I mean, I know I'm somebody that doesn't give up very easily. I'm a stubborn bugger. Even though there's loads of days where I just think, God, I'm just going to chuck the towel in. I just can't. I can't do it. I have to keep going. I'm like an overachiever. And some people say you need to slow down. I can't. I've tried to slow down. Nothing I ever do is in moderation. It's either all or nothing. That's something I've learned about myself.
Yeah.
I'm recently a year into sobriety as well. Another thing I've learned about myself is that, you know, I am an extremely, that person that you've seen for many years in Dirty Sanchez, that is not the guy that you really see. I'm a very shy guy. I'm very quiet, likes his own company. Being around people I find pretty hard. There's all that kind of stuff. But after, and I know that, through my year of sobriety, I knew that I was using alcohol to mask all these kind of problems. So it's something I'm still on the journey of trying to get used to being that person that doesn't need alcohol to be in a social situation. So it's something I'm learning on the daily to try and, once you get rid of one, you have to deal with the next onslaught of SHIT, and slowly but surely, that's what I'm working on. So that's what I've learned about myself.
Yeah, it's a journey and quite a succinct answer in terms of, again, just reflecting on that year of sobriety. And congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Well, it moves on nicely to another question I have. So we work with a lot of people with neurodivergence, with disability. I myself have cerebral palsy, and you've talked about different things that have given you motivation over the years, like running. You've said is a really powerful thing for you. Going to the gym, of course. I remember there was an interesting quote once where you said GPs should be handing out gym memberships rather than medication, depression medication, things like that. Now, I wonder, aside from running, aside from going to the gym, are there any people, places, motivations that you use on a daily basis that might help to inspire someone who is just struggling to get out of bed? Maybe their day looks a little different. Maybe their physical mobility isn't great, or maybe they've got some neurodivergence that kind of really means they struggle to find that motivation to maybe go physical and go to the gym, run, things like that. What kind of motivations do you use that are kind of less physical, I guess, less about going to the gym? Are there any specific people, places, things that you like to do, Matt?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, it's World Mental Health Day as well as today. And I was actually thinking to myself, I was actually going to do a video for my socials about exactly what you were just talking about. For me personally, I've realized that I need the gym. I need to be outdoors. I need to do all these kind of things because I know that if I don't do it, it's, I go, my head goes south. And I know that. So I have to do it. And it's sometimes, like this morning, I didn't want to get up at 4 o'clock. It's like some days I want to, I get up before or when the alarm goes off and I'm full of beans. And I'm like, yeah, I can't. I'm looking forward to the day. But something like this morning, I didn't want to get up before. And I'm there, like most people will know, you never want to get out of bed. It's a comfortable place. It's warm. You've just got to have a word to yourself. And that's exactly what I did this morning. I just say, look, get out of bed. You know that as soon as you get out, you're going to be fine. And I was. I'm stoked now. I'm sat here talking to you. I'm happy I did that. But for somebody who, I mean, I can't really speak about people with problems because I'm not experienced in it. I don't know what everyone's different, I guess, isn't they? But I think the best thing for you to do is just be outside. Don't watch the TV all the time because I mean the TV is full of absolute rubbish these days. Unless I'm on it cooking, of course. No, but this I don't know. I definitely don't watch the news and try not to scroll on your social media and all that kind of stuff. Sort of be try. I mean, it's rich coming for me. Try and be present and stuff. Because even though I do all this kind of stuff, my head is just 100 miles an hour. And that's another thing. For me anyway, I can't sit there for too long with my own thoughts. If I sit there too long with my own thoughts, I drive myself crazy and I think things that are not even happening are not even there. So yeah, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that can relate to that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you mentioned there, obviously, turning off the TV, and kind of being outside, being present. And, obviously, the TV and entertainment, it gave you what gave you your fans, gave you your, what you the success you found. So I wanted to ask you, through the interviews that I've seen and the references, it doesn't seem to me, Matt, that you miss the celebrity side of things. But I didn't want to state the obvious. I didn't want to assume and put words into your mouth and say, oh, be completely uninterested in that side of things anymore. Do you miss any part of the celebrity lifestyle that came with that early part of your career, and your massive hair, but certainly the celebrity lifestyle. Do you miss any part of that, or did you just not come into your awareness at all these days?
Back in the day, I absolutely loved it. I've always said that it was absolutely, I loved every single bit and minute of it. But then now, as I get older, I don't, like if anything, and don't get me wrong, when people recognize me in the street, it's really nice and stuff. But I just try and avoid I try and avoid it's weird because my missus said, "You're the most flamboyant
Introvert.
introvert. You're the most flamboyant introvert I've ever met." Because I mean, that was again when I was drinking, I was this. You know, I used to wear all kind. I mean, that's I'd still even if I'm not drinking, I'd still wear quite flamboyant clothes and stuff. But you know, I'd be this the life and soul of all the party. But then inside, really, I'm just this introverted person who just like to stay away from all of it. So I used to like it. I'm not a massive fan of it anymore. Although I do appreciate it when people, you know, when people are fans of what you do and stuff. You know, that's great. And I
Yeah.
would give everyone the time of day, and I did back in the day as well. And
Yeah.
but yeah, I'm more if to answer your question, I'm more happier on my own. In and field in the middle of nowhere with my dog,
Yeah.
and, you
Yeah.
know, that's just the peaceful life. And that's I you know, I that's why I go to the gym early in the morning because there's nobody in there.
Yeah.
I just if anything, I try and hide from I try and hide from
Yeah.
crowds.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I understand that as well. Again, you could sort of see, you know, when you do speak, you're very reflective about that time. But from that question, Matt, something I thought about asking you was about your definition of success and how that's changed, because you've experienced television success, movie success, traveling around the world, but you're also now a very successful TV chef, and you have your books, and it's very different styles of success, I imagine, you know. So how has your definition of success as a person and as a performer, because I would label you as a performer, how has that changed and developed over time, would you say?
Success. I don't know what is success.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, I just do stuff that I enjoy doing. And I think when you do something you enjoy doing, success comes with it, I guess. But it's, you know, and I just 10 years ago, if somebody said I was going to be a TV chef, they would have laughed. You know, I would have laughed in the face. They would have laughed as well. But it's, I bought you can always you can do whatever you want. You've just got to put you've just you know I mean you know I was a skateboarder, professional skateboarder, and then I did the Sanchez thing, then the Sanchez thing finished, then I opened a business, a tattoo and barbershop business, and then I did the dirty vegan thing, I did endurance events and all that kind of stuff, and then now I'm about to go into another industry, which is the supplement industry. I know the dirty vegan thing isn't dead yet. That you know, that's the new book, as you can see behind me. That's launching December the 7th. So there's a lot of things going on. Don't get me wrong. I mean, to some people that might that's success, or I don't know. It ain't you know it ain't easy. It's you know it's. Again, it's, you know, everyone thinks I'm a multi-millionaire, but you know, the reality is that I'm not. Yes, I have been there, but I spent it all and having a good time. But that was another life lesson. It's just, I don't know, success is weird. Some people look at success different. Some people look at success because you've got a Lamborghini,
Yeah.
but to, you know, or a massive house. But you know, that's they're the kind of thing. I'd still live to have a Lamborghini. Don't get me wrong. And they're the kind of things I used to look to have when I was younger. But now that I'm older, success to me is as long as I can pay my bills and I can spend time with my fiance and my dog doing nice things, which doesn't necessarily cost money, that's success to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's quite a refreshing take on it. As an extension of the success question, I talked to a lot of musicians about this, and it might be a bit of a day word to you, Matt. I don't know how you feel about it, but the idea of legacy. Now, you obviously are associated globally with Sanchez, but you also have obviously your background as a skateboarder, and you have your chef work, and you're about to go into the supplement world, which we'll talk about. What would you like your legacy to be, and do you really? Do you have any affinity with that word? Do you think day in, day out, what is my legacy, and as a performer, as a person, or does that not really again come into your brain space?
I'm not that big-headed enough to think. to think about my legacy. I don't really give two fucks, to be honest with you. I mean, that's up to other people to tell me what my legacy is. I don't, I you know, I just do me. I do what I can. Myself entertained, keep myself happy, keep my loved ones happy. And you know what I do do day to day, if people, well, yeah, I just, I don't know, I don't really know what to say. I just leave it up to others to think what my legacy is. I couldn't really give two fucks.
It's a, you know, it's a very real and raw response. Musicians, you know, sometimes musicians have a different viewpoint because they've got that, you know, the album and stuff, but then, you know, or a set of albums where, and you've got, you know, the Dirty Sanchez portfolio and your skateboarding work and the TV stuff. So that's where that question came from. But it sounds like you kind of, you know, again, you're kind of just like doing what you want to do in the moment. And then it's up to other people what they think about that, you know, years down the line.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Before we, as I say, we're going to talk about the future, you know, the last few questions, but I, you want to harken back to the first question, really, you know, with a similar line, and that's what would you tell yourself now if you were sat in front of 2003, Matt, or, you know, Sanchez, Matt, you know, skateboarder going into TV, if you were sat in front of him at the moment, what kind of things would you say to that person, if you don't mind me asking, like, have you thought about that, or in this moment, what kind of things would you say to that person?
You're not going hard enough.
Right.
Well, you're not going hard enough, and slow down, son. But today I'm sort of contradicting myself by saying that. But yeah, it's sort of a mixture of the both, really. Slow down, you're not going hard enough. But yeah, I don't know. I look back at my old self. I don't regret any of it. It's, you know, I've had a wild time, and I should be absolutely, you know, I am. I feel really lucky to have been able to live that kind of lifestyle, because, you know, that's a lot of people dream of living that kind of lifestyle, and I'm fortunate enough to say that I've been and I've done it, and I loved every minute of it.
Fantastic. You know, it is great to look at as someone in that's watched that stuff, you know, and to see where you are now. You've lived both sides of life. You can now relax, or, well, not relax. That's the last thing you're going to do, but you can say you've done it, and it's now on to the next thing. It doesn't sound like you define yourself by your past by any stretch.
No, I feel I sort of see, I see a pattern with my life. I sort of get into something and then take it to as far as I can possibly go, and then I go, all right, I've done it now, right, next. And then I start the next thing. It's like with triathlon and stuff. I still do triathlon, I absolutely love it. But that it from 2011 was my first Ironman, and then I realized there was a double. Then I realized there was a triple. So I thought, well, I'm off, take that one off, take that one off. And of course, and then I found out the ultimate was a Decca, which was 10 Ironman. So slowly but surely over the years, I worked my way up. And then once I ticked that Decca off, it's almost like I complete, you know, like a computer game. It's like I completed it, mate. That's what it felt like to me. So, and then on to the next then.
Yeah, that's it. It keeps your brain motivated and keeps your body and your heart motivated as well. Absolutely.
It's like, you know, I rode the Atlantic Ocean in 2021, and I knew in my head, I thought, well, once I've done this ocean, I know what I'm like. I'm like, well, I'm gonna have to fucking do a bigger one. And luckily, I managed to get that opportunity. I'm actually doing the Indian Ocean next year, so
Oh
yeah,
man.
from Perth to Mombasa in Africa.
Wonderful, mate. Well, I have to catch you when you do that one. I'm about to do that one because it is exciting. Again, for people you know, watching or listening or reading, however they're consuming this, it's cool because you are, you know, you're not resting on your laurels, you're not relying on previous success. What you're doing is you're staying motivated, you're staying creative. And I think that's, you know, obviously we're going to talk about the book in a second, and you know, that you know, four or five more questions now, and I do want to, you know, do a bit of plugging for that new book that's coming out in December. What are some of the best things about producing a book? Because people look at you Again, you know, this is my perception, so of course, correct me, but people look at you as, you know, they'll be like, oh, you know, athlete, skateboarder, you know, stunt guy, you know, but you're doing these books, and you know, obviously very successful, very renowned, and I wonder what's it like for you to create a book. You know, obviously the new one's coming out fast and easy. You've obviously got a portfolio behind you as well. How does writing a book and developing these cooking shows, how does that push you in new ways as a performer? Because it feels like, to me, you've kind of like you've probably figured out all the ways to push your body, your mind, you know, the triathlons, the stunts and everything. But this is kind of a new creative, you know, or it was, I guess, when you first started. But what, yeah, I'll go back to the original question. In what ways does producing these books push you in new ways as a performer?
I find it challenging because,
Hmm.
you know, I'm not the best chef in the world. Gosh, you know what I mean? I'm not no Michelin star, bloody whatever. You know, I went to college when I left school. I studied catering for 2 years. Obviously, I didn't do it all my life, and then I just came back into it when I went vegan in 2015. So I'm still learning, and I enjoy cooking. I enjoy cooking in the house. I find it very therapeutic. You know, I did the YouTube channel Pritchard's Proper Vegan Cooking, and then BBC then picked it up, and I did the Dirty Vegan. You know, I find it challenging because it doesn't come natural to me, so I have to, you know, I have to try and learn about it myself and put the hours in and stuff. But also again, you know, when people call me up to go and do cooking demos and stuff, like I said, I'm quite a shy person. Like when I used to do the live shows in Dirty Sanchez, I'd be loaded, I'd get on stage, it'd be not a problem. But once I get know what I'm doing, now that I'm sober and I get on stage to do cooking demos, I did 4 this summer, and it's hard because I'm so nervous and you know, sharp knife in my hand, and nerves and sharp knife
Yeah.
they go very well. But what as soon as I get into it, I'm fine. I'm like, yeah, I'm off, I'm going, so it's good. But doing books, you know, the first two books were done with I did it with another chef called Bob from Riverford Organic Fruit and Veg. So I did some recipes, and he did some recipes as well. Amalgamated a book for Dirty Vegan 2, Dirty Vegan 1, and Dirty Vegan 2. This book, however, was done completely all by myself, and it was in. I started doing it in October last year, and that is when I was on a downward spiral. Mentally, I'd lost the plot. I had a breakdown, and it was all brought on by too much, the party. Let's just say the party lifestyle, which, again, cut a long story short, I eased off that quite a bit, and then lockdown came, and I think a lot of people can, will understand where I'm coming from. I think a lot of people's bad habits came back in at lockdown through boredom and stuff. But slowly but surely, it was just building and building, and in October, bang, I just lost the plot, and I just could not stop crying and blah blah blah. And then that's when I stopped. And it's November, October the 6th, I stopped, and then I had to do the book. You know, I went to Octopus Publishing to go and do the Right We Need This, and I was a shell of a man. And luckily, I had that book to concentrate on. And I spent like, it was good for like 14 hours a day in the kitchen, and going back and forth to Tesco's to get recipe bits that I'd forgotten. And I'm writing books, and sometimes the recipe wouldn't work, and I'd have to start again. And so it was really long days in the kitchen. But slowly but surely, we got there, put the book together. Was there behind me, and I'm really stoked. I'm looking forward to it coming out December the 7th.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like I say, just reflecting, and I appreciate your honesty there, Matt. The year, stop making that decision to stop, and put yourself, and challenge yourself to do this book. It must have been very, very difficult for you. So I hope you could see it in my face. Like I'm genuinely, that's, congratulations on doing that, because it's not easy to
Good
do
man.
to deal with those things,
It
you know. I'll squeeze an extra one in because, like I said, I've got three or four more before we finish. But you mentioned that social anxiety, that's not social anxiety, that anxiety around getting on stage and sort of doing that. Now you don't have the crutch, as it were, booze, etc. And I wonder, again, for anybody who maybe does still deal with some social anxiety, what tips have you got? Because you've still got to get on the stage, no matter how anxious you're feeling. You've still got to perform, no matter how anxious you're feeling. So, obviously, you've got the added incentive that you don't want to chop any body parts off with a knife. But what tips have you got for anybody that is struggling and wants to get out, maybe sees what you do, is inspired, wants to, have a YouTube cooking show, or wants to go out and perform? What tips have you got? Maybe one or two for anybody who.
Oh, I mean, look, this, I mean, you've just got to do it. It's as simple as that. I mean, my anxiety gets so bad, it's visible on stage until I relax into the what I'm doing. So I hope people can listen to that and realize, because they must probably look at me and think I'm just, this confident guy that just whaps on stage. So just so everyone knows, you're not on your own. I get that. And like I said, I'm visibly bad. So I'm not, yeah, if I do that, then, we're not all perfect. And the more you sit in a house and ignore it, the worse it's going to get. You just have to grab life by the bollocks and get out. And that is the unfortunately, that is the only way. And you do that over and over and over again. It becomes a habit. You get used to it, and then you go, all right. And then you don't even think about it. So it's to get over that hurdle, you have to keep doing something over and over again. And if you keep drinking over and over again, you get yourself a drinking habit. If you do drugs over and over again, you get a drug habit. If you do life constantly over and over again, you get a life habit, and that means your anxiety eases, and you it sort of becomes second nature, leaving the house and trying to deal with people with social anxiety, and all that kind of stuff. And I say that, and I still struggle with it, but I'm not as bad as what I was because I got out and I got on with it.
Because you're doing stuff, absolutely, man, absolutely. And in terms of sonic motivation now, because obviously we do a lot of work in music and the arts. And I wonder if you're in the gym or you're in the kitchen, maybe you've got to find motivation to do one of these, to do the book, when you're all these hours in the kitchen. Do you have a soundtrack, two or three songs, or an album that you go back to and you've consistently gone back to? I know that, of course, music was incredibly tied to Sanchez, and of course that pop culture at that time, it was hugely tied together. But for you personally, do you have an album or a couple of songs that you go back to for motivation when you're in the kitchen, in the gym, or elsewhere?
But in the kitchen when I did the book, I was listening to BBC Radio Wales. I was Wyn Evans, the Go Compare guy, Dots, Jason Mohammed. Oh, listen, weirdly, I just had that in the background. But when I'm in the gym, it's a mixture of heavy metal, Slayer, Sabbath, AC/DC. And I've just been listening to quite mellow stuff recently as well. I've been listening to Miley Cyrus, just all that kind of stuff. So it's a mixture. I'm into lots of stuff.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Have you got like a favorite live experience, like a live band experience? I know you've traveled the world and probably you've seen many things in your time. Have you got a favorite live band that you've seen?
Oh, there's AC/DC in Birmingham. That was something else. But then I've been a massive Queen fan for years. I was in the fan club when I was a teenager. So I know. I mean, I know it wasn't Freddie Mercury, but to go and see them in Birmingham as well, just see them come on stage, I was like, wow, this is the closest I was going to get to Queen, and it was just amazing.
Adam Lambert, what a performer.
Yeah,
Absolutely,
amazing.
absolutely. All right, well, as we wind up now, Matt, we're gonna talk about the supplement, SWYD, coming out. Obviously we'll plug that. But what is your message to the people that have supported you, stayed with you since Sanchez, are buying your books, are really getting behind what you do? And we'll continue to do so. And of course, new people, engage with you all the time, see what you've done and support you, whether that's skateboarding, cooking, Sanchez, what is your message to your supporters and people that are just starting to find out about your work?
Well, it's just simple, really. Thank you very much. Thank you for following my journey, and investing in whatever I do and supporting me by buying the DVDs back in the day, or buying the books, and now buying the subs and all that kind of stuff. It's just simple. Thank you. And for those who are just joining in on the ride, then happy days, man. Enjoy it.
Absolutely.
We've only, well, not we only just started, we started years ago, but we're going to keep trucking
Yeah, absolutely. And don't.
until I get the day that I say I'm leaving it all behind is the day me, my missus, and my dog sod off to Spain. And then you most probably won't really hear much of me then, because I'll be living a peaceful life in the middle of nowhere.
That sounds delightful, mate. It really, really does. Talking about keeping on trucking, obviously you talk about the endurance and the supplements and things like that. Your journey now is, you've got a new powder coming out as well. Tell me about your journey into that industry, and how that's happened.
It's weird when you say you've got a new powder coming out, because the powders I used to take many years ago were not of
They're
the
very different, yes.
they were
So to
very different
clarify.
to the powder I'm talking about now. I've got the supplement got a supplement company starting. We're starting with three products. We've got the pre-workout, we've got the Hydra V, which is the hydration powder for the when you're in the gym and your water bottles and stuff, and we got the vegan protein powder. Why did I start it? Because I was tasting a lot of vegan protein powders, and they were absolutely rank. They were gritty, or the taste was absolutely terrible. I just wanted to bring something to the market which people could enjoy, not just vegans, for everybody. And I've been working with Mark from CSN Supplements in Cardiff. He knows his stuff, and we've come up with an amazing protein shake, which is just we've got pancake batter, and it's absolutely banging. The pre-workout is proper, slaps you in the face as you go into the gym, and the Hydra V is good as well. But off the back of all this, this is just the start. I've got so many more ideas to come off this back off the back of this supplement company. And like I said, the dirty vegan thing's not dead, because we were going to start the dirty vegan food brand. That took a backseat for various reasons, which I can't go into, but that will then be launching off the back of this as well, going into the future.
Oh man, it's exciting. There's so much stuff to talk about in the future as well. So I look forward to doing this again with you soon, Matt. I'm gonna give the floor to you to finish up. Is where we check I've done my job properly, really. Is there anything that I've missed that you want to plug before we finish, or anything you'd like to add?
No, you're doing your job properly. Absolutely banging. No,
Thank you, mate.
thanks for your time, man. Brilliant. Enjoyed it.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much for your time, mate.